This is Greg Tingle reporting for Media Man Australia. We're speaking to one of the legendary pro wrestlers and great Yankee promoters, Walter Killer Kowalski. Welcome to the program, Walter.
Hi.
So, Walter, what makes a great wrestler and what makes a great wrestling promoter?
What makes a great wrestling promoter?
Yep.
What you think you become, what you say you become, what you fear you become. Never demean yourself. Shoot for the moon, you may hit a star. Just you become good, practicing it and believing in yourself that your accomplishment or game is positive for yourself.
Yes, so self-belief's one thing, and do you think that the audience and the public will pick up on that self-belief and then they will believe in the product and the individual as well?
Call the people's attention. When I was wrestling, first thing was make the people know it's me and not the ring, not my opponent. So everything I did, I got the people's attention, used to hate me, and word got out that I was the biggest man in professional wrestling.
It certainly did it. Well, we found that out down under here in Sydney, Australia. Since we're calling you from Australia, could you share with us some of your fond memories and your battles here in Australia, both in Sydney and Melbourne?
Well, I wrestled so many guys, but when I was there, that's why they made me a champion, because I drew the people's attention, and they wanted to see me in that ring, as mean as I was. When I was in Melbourne, we weren't selling any tickets there. Why? Because our team was on a 12 noon on Sunday, so nobody even knew about it.
All right.
About wrestling there. So what I did, my opponent grabbed it on the head, hit him in a dog so hard, he ran all over the place. And I looked at the camera, got a shortcut of me, faced against this guy, my opponent's face. Here's what I think about you, Australians. Anybody can think it's flat, I'll give them the same thing, I'll bust his nose.
Fantastic. So it sounds as if you probably...
You know what happened?
What?
The newspapers wrote up the story, wrestling comes from America to corrupt our children. People didn't even know about wrestling, and so they put it on the following Sunday, and what happened? It was sold out for the Mahal, sold out within 2 weeks.
Fantastic. So it sounded like you were the wrestler, but you turned into the greatest promoter of them all here in Australia by spilling a bit of blood.
That's right, the real way, too.
Yeah. Fantastic. And that was before wrestling was called sports entertainment. What do you feel about today's product? What do you like about today's product, and what don't you like from when you were in your heyday, the glory days of professional wrestling?
When I was wrestling, I go in that ring and go, go, go. I was in tremendous conditioning. I stick in the match. I had a 30-minute match, 25-minute, 60-minute match. Today is 3 minutes of wrestling, and then you talk about bugging for the next half hour.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit like a soap opera.
You do not watch wrestling on television.
Yeah.
You do not even watch it at all.
Okay, so it's well. You were a brawler, but also with some technical skill. But in those days, do you feel that the moves that you actually did, they had more meaning? There was actually more of a storyline as opposed to a contrived storyline, if you like, as there is these days.
That's right. And see, I was taught about wrestling with my amateur background.
Yep.
And I used to do wrestling shows for colleges. You had a lot of professional wrestlers there. Amateur wrestle hall of fake baloney. Oh, whack. But when I go out there, I start showing them how I moved, what I did, they applauded me.
Yes.
Amateur wrestlers, I draw their attention. So everything I did in that ring was for Killer Kowalski.
Yes. And the different students, the people that you're working with these days, what do you look for in potential students and people that you feel are worthy to pass that knowledge on and actually back these guys and get them to the next level?
Well, to get to the next level is believe in yourself and make the people believe in you too. So go out there and handle your opponent and let him know that you mean it. You're in that ring. Some of my opponents, when they found out it was going to wrestle Philip Kowalski is quick.
Well, it must be tremendous to have a reputation.
Huh?
Tremendous to have a reputation which carries so much weight.
That's right. There's an article in one of the magazines, he reported me about me and said, I was the meanest man in wrestling, the most hated man. So, in other words, even my opponent recognized who I was. Not only the people, but I made the people think of Tilla Kowalski. And the way I did it in the ring, I'd be sitting in the dressing room after the match and wait for the people to leave. They shower and sit around. The crowd must be gone now. So I walk out of the dressing room outside to go. And here they are, people. Oh, boy, our matches were fake. Except you. You were for real in that ring.
That's the greatest compliment.
Everybody believer in what I can do and what I did.
Fantastic. And how did you balance the life of being a professional wrestler with being also, I mean, just another bloke and also, you know, attempting to stay on side, at least to a certain degree, with the wrestling promoters those days so they weren't afraid, if you like, to book you for the next show?
Because I drew the people's attention. I drew crowds too. The wrestling promoter would publicize Philip Kowalski. And every place I went, the houses would go up. I drew attention of people, and they want to see me in that ring. They believed what I did, and what I was able to do. And my opponent, sometimes he'd run away too. After the matches were done, I sit in that dressing room, and I wait and wait and wait. Why? Because sometimes I walk out, and the people want to beat the hell out of me.
Yeah, so it was sort of like in those days. Contrived riots. There were no plants. This guy was actually making the riot happen.
I was stabbed. A woman, I was in a riot in one of the towns, similar to Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I fought my way out of it. I don't know, the people, they tore the chairs out there, and I finally got to the other side of the building where my dressing room was. A woman came up to me, oh, I'm so glad you made it. I'm so happy about you. I'm really glad. She stabbed me in the back. And I got back in the dressing room. I hold your whole back is ripped 6 inches long. And you're pretty bad, so we go to hospital and get stitched up. And it happened to me a few times like that. People want to kill me. Because why? Because I made them hate me so much they want to hold a hate by getting me.
Yeah, talk a bit.
And one other series up. I walked in the ring, into the ring. Standing in the ring, there's a woman from Rickside comes up to me. I just looked out at her. She stabbed me in my shin bone, right down to my boot.
Ouch.
Bleeding, and I just looked at her.
I
screamed and hollered, and I just looked at her. And the crowd was aghast. I didn't jump out her head or something like that. She was so embarrassed. And actually, the crowd cheered me. The crowd clapped for me because I sustained stabbing her leg, getting after her.
Wow.
Her and her husband are so embarrassed by everything, they left the building.
Wow.
So when my opponent came in the ring, the referee came in, and said, what the hell happened to your leg? some broad stabbed me.
Jeez.
I'm not loud. What do you want to do? I'm going to wrestle.
Well, they get carried away in the storyline, but I guess that was before the days of more perhaps social conscience. And it should be acknowledged that back in those days particularly, there wasn't that much protection for the wrestlers, let alone anything like health insurance or something to cover the major risks that you're involved in on a daily basis.
Now today, they have police out there, security people out there, and they have a fence around the whole ring that no people can go after the wrestlers.
Yes. So, all up, what are some of the key aspects which kept your career at the top for so many years and your longevity, where to name today your name just carries respect anywhere in the world? What do you put that down to, Killer?
I proved to the people who I was and what I can do. I did exactly that every time. So, my name is still, I'm going to retire now for the first 30 years. They're still called me up to have them make personal appearances. They had a personal appearance in Japan. So just get along. But they're all remember me. And the young kids, the magazines write me up.
Yes.
I write me up the magazines because they heard about me.
That's right, and we're not that young. We're 33 years old, and we're with Media Man Australia, and we're liaising with the Australian, and in fact, the international media business, letting everybody know that we know the real wrestling legends are out there. You've got to track them down, and these men have got words of wisdom, and that the young wrestlers and the wrestling promoters of today can learn a wealth of knowledge from people like yourself, Walter. So thank you very, very much, and we look forward to a great more future contact with yourself.
Thank you very much, too. Thank you for remembering me.
Thank you.
You remember me back there, way back in the 70s.
And thank you for the memories. All the best to you and the rest of the great American talent and promoters there in the United States. Thank you for the memories, killer.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. See you, mate. Bye-bye.